This is Embracing Change with Lakrita Bowman and Jennifer Osborne. You want to sing in the intro?
Yeah, why not? Let's talk about change. Let's talk about courage. Let's talk about change.
There you go.
Let's talk about courage.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the next edition of the Embracing Change podcast. We're glad that you have decided to join us as we continue our series on changing the person in the mirror. So the whole season, this season, is about, of course, just what I was saying, change. Today, we're going to talk about an important part of change, and that is courage. So, Lakrita, where would you like to jump in today with regard to courage? Like, what is the overarching truth related to courage and how it has really been the thing that you've had to lean on as you've started the process of change yourself?
I think that my definition, everybody has to define courage for themselves as you take the journey on change. I believe that everyone shows up in that moment with different kind of reasonings why they want to change. Mm-hmm. Some people show up because they're tired of living the way that they've been living for change. So some people show up because their parents or their wives or husbands or loved ones have pushed them to change. Some people show up in the mirror for change because the pain has become greater than the outcome. I think that the greatest way to show up for change is with courage. And for me, courage is defined for me as the bravery to start sharing your story. For me, it is the ability to tell people who you believe you are, even if that's not the true authentic self, but just enough bravery and courage to start telling your story, to start talking about your trauma, to start talking about your history, to start talking about your life experiences. I believe when we start there, it gives us a more buy-in to the person in the mirror. Because until you're able to face your own self, pain, disappointment, all of you, I always call it naked and unashamed. The Bible says we came into this world naked, and Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Eden naked and unashamed until they was aware that they were naked. Then they begin to clothe themselves. And I believe that courage is bravery to unclothe yourself with things you've told yourself that was not true, that was not who you really were. And so you have the courage to start telling your story in the way it is, so you can begin to get naked again. And so you can really become the person you were authentically meant to be.
So it's telling your story two ways. It's telling your story authentically to yourself, admitting who you are, as well as telling your story to others.
And it's also admitting who you're not, because it's really first telling yourself who you're not. Because I believe that we have defined ourselves based on what we physically see, and we've also defined ourselves based on what has physically happened to us. And so it's when you begin to tell your story from a perspective of not what happened to you based on who you think you are, but tell your story so you can be free of what happened to you, if that makes sense.
Yes, it certainly does. And that comes right up against the thought that some folks will have that have come out of lots of trauma. They'll say, I don't really need to share my story. I don't need to really talk about what happened to me. I can just move on and keep going. And I think it's important to talk about what happened, share your story, even in a real way with, even if it's just a counselor, to start the dialogue of really looking at why you are where you are, how life has affected you, things like that.
Oh, definitely. Because as I've shared through my book, Breaking the Cycle of Self-Abuse, as I'm sharing with the book that I am currently writing, Unlocking Your Incarcerated Mind. I believe that your story is unfolded gradually, but I believe before I can lay a new foundation to a new truth, I must undig up the dirt and dig up the foundation of truth that I've told myself that I believed. Because it's not, my behaviors come from my belief system.
Right.
And so whatever beliefs I've laid as a foundation for truth, that is what I respond to. That is what I react to. That becomes my reality. So I would not agree with that, that you don't need to tell your story. Oh, you need to tell it, because for me, the belief says that I tell my story for exactly the way it happened. If I was raped, if I was sexually abused, if I was a thief, I was a liar, if I was a manipulator, if I was, you know, if all these things were me, if I lost my sexual identity, if I was, you know, believed in these truths that were my foundation, I have to go dig those truths up. Because see, they still truth to me, even if they're not the truth, they're truths. You know what I mean? They were my truth. They may not be the truth, but they were mine. And it was how I protected myself and how I, you know, survived the things that I experienced in life. So I'd have to go dig those up, hold them in my hands, have the bravery to hold them in my hands, whether metaphorically, whether actually, you know, they're written in paper, however I hold them in my hand. I have to look at them for what they are, what they were, and what they will not be going forward.
That reminds me of the story where you had to have a different story that you were telling of who you were in that moment and being able to look at yourself very transparently. And that was when you got the cashier job and you had to have the courage to say to the gentleman who wanted to put you on the cash register, hey, may not be such a great idea because I know my limitations, or at least my past limitations.
Exactly. Or when I went into the store with my case manager from the Talbert House, and I was having an anxiety attack and didn't realize why I was having it and didn't know it was an anxiety attack, was because stores represented me being a thief. So I told someone today, I said, I've always been a professional fashion person with clothing. I just did it illegal for a long time. So my point is, my relationship to clothing, it goes back to being naked and unashamed. So because someone stole something from me at a very young age, when Mr. Sam, and I name him purposely because I don't ever want to forget his name. Like they talk about Breonna, to say their name. Mr. Sam raped me and took my innocence at 7 years old. He stole from me. And so I took on the same identity as a thief. And so I began to steal from other people by going in the store, stealing merchandise, stealing people's time, stealing people's attentions. I began to be a thief. And so that day in the store, when we went into the store on a store outing where I was in the halfway house, I couldn't understand why I couldn't hardly even breathe. And my counselor said, you're having an anxiety attack. Why are you having it? And I had to have the courage to tell her, I only relate to coming into stores to take away, not to purchase. Most of my experiences was I was coming to case it out to rob it. So I'm having an anxiety moment, I guess is what you call it, because coming in this store, getting in here is making me feel overwhelmed because those patterns of behaviors and thought processes was happening to me in that moment.
So for
that was my first time having the courage to say it. The second time was at the store that I was, the restaurant I was working at.
So what would be the obvious answer to this would be fear. The opposite of courage is fear. But how would you begin to help someone start to like find that courage to tell their story, to be able to begin the process?
Well, this weekend I looked up something, or I came up with something, some acronyms about fear. Most people say fear is the false evidence appearing real. And that's usually true. That's the normal way. But I feel like this weekend I heard something that says, forget everything and run. We can do that. Or we can face everything and rise.
Oh, that's
you decide.
Good. Yeah.
So fear can be false evidence appearing real, and you can face everything and run, which is an acronym to fear, or you can face everything and rise. Your choice. But you've got to choose it. That's courage. And I chose over 29 years ago to face everything and rise. It doesn't mean that I don't still have moments in my life that I have this moment of hesitation, but I just don't get crippled with fear anymore. Because after going through what I've been through, fear is the false evidence appearing real. And when I look at it and say, nah, I'd rather face it and rise.
Does it get easier as you face it to overcome that fear? Little by little, step by step.
Oh, definitely. I think everything is done in disciplines of measurements. Mm. And so consistency is done in discipline of measurement. It's like a teaspoon of tea. If you do it regularly enough, you know, and you keep on doing it, you know, it becomes a habit. A habit, you know, becomes your character. And it's just, you have to keep doing it, but you have to have the discipline to face it.
So discipline's key.
I believe so.
Yeah.
And discipline has been misused. I know for my life, discipline was a negative thing for a long time. Because when I got in trouble, my mother would discipline me and whoop me with an extension cord. So I never seen discipline as your friend, my friend. I always seen it as my enemy. I stole, or I did something, or I didn't even steal. But because I was running away from home, the discipline was being put in a mental hospital. So I didn't see discipline as a friend or an opportunity of accountability of becoming better at something. I always seen it as my enemy, the opposite. It was, I had to retrain my brain that discipline is a friend. And it can be a consequence that does not feel like you get the greatest outcome from. I've come to realize, though, it really still is my friend, good, bad, or indifferent. It helps me get where I say I want to go.
So what are some of the other hurdles to courage? So fear is a huge one.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're trying to start that process, I always like to go back to trying to look at what you're going to face in a particular issue. So for courage, we said fear is a big one, but what else? Like, what are some
traumas?
Traumas, okay.
You know, we're going to talk about trauma even in the next episode about the conflict of change. But trauma, let's talk about trauma. You have different kinds. Have acute trauma, which is a single stressful and dangerous life event. Then you have chronic trauma that is a repeated, prolonged, stressful, dangerous life events. Then you have complex, where you've been exposed to multiple types of dangerous and stressful life events. So it just depends on what your level of trauma is. There is markers for trauma, and some of the mundane things that is maybe that you can be exposed to may not traumatize me, but it doesn't mean that it didn't traumatize someone else. Hmm. It can be a simple car accident that somebody else hit you that can be traumatic. And I think we've went on in life and don't realize that if a loud car happens or you're holding on to inside of a car every time someone speeds or go fast, something is triggering you to hold on to the side of the door. Well, I think it's your experience that you had with a car accident or something involving that car accident. So then from there on, unless you're the driver, if you're on the passenger side, you experience the car accident possibly happening if someone else is driving. You're constantly putting your foot on the brake. If you remember, if you've ever been in some kind of, and sometimes you don't even have to have been in a car accident to do it. It's just something that makes you a passenger creates you to feel like you're not in control. And so trauma to me creates us to put around barriers because we have lost control somewhere. And so we're always putting on the brake, or we're holding on to the side of the thing that's on the door, or we're holding on to the door. Now, it's something that keeps us in that vehicle of life that creates us to know that we're not in control because somewhere control was taken. And it could be as simple as your mother left your father left your mother. It could be anything. It could be any trauma. The way one child deals with it may be different than how the other child deals with it. So I believe trauma comes in all kind of packages, small, mini small, large, medium. I think it depends on how you interpret it. But I think that if we all look back in our lives, there's been some traumatic events that happen up to now. You know, I have some people a person that's about 7 years old, and they've been through many things already. Mother on drugs, father committed suicide. And that child at 7 may not realize that they are experiencing trauma, but they will when they get older. When these things, when they're not as developed as they need to be developed, they will realize that in that moment, that these things kind of hindered them from being the best version of themselves.
So what other bigger things do you think are hindrances to finding the courage to change? We've talked about fear. We've talked about trauma.
I think those are the two biggest.
The biggest ones. Okay.
I don't think there is no other bigger ones. My perspective, I think that the fear of the unknown, the fear of telling someone about where you come from out of feeling rejected. Now, I think those other things come from the bigger things. I think it's like the main thing. And then we have all the side dishes. And the side dishes that come from the different traumas or the fears come from if it's rejection or abandonment. But if you look at it, abandonment comes from, and rejection comes from what? What did you, my mother gave me away. That was the main thing. So out of that came a hole in my soul. And so out of that became, then I did the same thing to my child because I still had the hole in my soul. So I think that those are the main things. So you got to go back to the main thing, the main dish. What is your main dish? And then if you look at your main dish, you can then look at the side dishes around it on your plate and say, oh, these things came from the main thing. And so the reason I'm fearful is because I'm not sure I have enough wherewithal emotionally or with bandwidth to go through the deeper things. Because it's going to take a lifetime. I don't think we ever get to a place we can rest, but I don't think we ever get to a place where we have learned everything. That's just for me. Other people may believe that. I don't. I'm 60. And there are some things I'm just now experiencing because I'd had a delay development. So I'm just now experiencing it at 60. So if I live to be 70, I got 10 more years. I'm sure I'm going to learn something that I didn't learn at 60, or I didn't learn at 30, because at 30 I was still living in a distorted reality.
Yeah.
So for me, I just think that the complex, acute, or chronic trauma, whichever stage you in or all, you could have the complex and have had them all. So I think that it's about how you operate, but the main thing is the bravery to start sharing your story, the true story, not the one you invented to protect yourself, not the one that you start wearing because something happened to you. I'm talking about telling people the heart, fearful, how would they accept me, vulnerability, get naked and unashamed, and trust again, because all, you know, distrust is just the side dish.
It's the gut level truth.
Yeah.
As deep as you can go.
As deep.
And
that moment.
Yeah.
Wherever you need to start. You start from that moment and then build on to the next thing.
Yeah. So what are some of the subtle roadblocks to trying to find courage to change? Like maybe not the big ones that would pop out and you go, oh, that's like a speed bump to finding courage, but just subtle things.
Well, I think the subtle things from not having the courage to do what needs to be done is you can be in a relationship and you can say to yourself, I don't want to leave him or her because, and you come up with excuses knowing that that relationship is not healthy for you. Mm. And it's subtle because you believe they're going to get better. You believe it's going to change. So I'll just stay in it. But no, the subtle thing is you're staying in it because you don't value yourself. Mm. That's subtle.
Yeah.
I don't care about going to prison, so I'm just keep on doing what I'm doing. Well, the subtle thing is you don't believe, again, that you matter. So incarcerating yourself is another way of rejection because you rejecting you. And you justify it by creating behaviors that says nobody cares about me. Those are subtle little things that you don't even put them, you don't even add them up, or they don't even have the equation of that this really is creating me not to have the courage to do what's necessary, to make the difference, to make the adjustment, to make the change, to make the move that I need to make in order to be the better, or even to explore that there could be another way to doing things because I'm so comfortable in the position I'm in that who even cares?
Yeah.
So we tell ourselves these kind of things. And then I believe what happens is we start believing them long enough. So they're little subtle, you know, little moments. You don't need, it's like compromising. I'm learning that the compromising, and I know this, the verse in the Bible, it talks about a little leaven leavens the whole lump in Galatians 6 and 9. You know, it's like making bread. If you don't put the right ingredients in it, it's not going to do what it needs to do. So a little bit of the wrong thing will create the wrong outcome. So it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's not that it spoils the whole tree because you don't know it's eaten up until you look in the root because it's the little things that have ate off of it. So they're so subtle that you've compromised your own self to the point where you realize, wait a minute, I no longer even like me. So why would I look in the mirror and expect someone else to love me? So I think it's those kind of things that are really subtle in our whole being, period, life.
Yeah, in life a lot of different areas.
Yeah, in relationships and jobs and who we are. Are we really working and being the exact person we need to be, or are we just settling because we don't believe in the dreams that we dream about when nobody's watching? Subtle things. So we compromise.
Yeah.
A little bit here and a little bit there. See, we think it has to be major. No, those are major. Because if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, you're going to get the wrong outcome anyway.
It could be as simple as I'm not going to face some particular issue in a day. I'll deal with it tomorrow. Like putting it off. That would be like a subtle avoidance of finding courage into change or something along those lines.
Yeah, I can give you a prime story. If my son listens to this, so be it. It's my story. It involves him. And but what I've realized is that people take you for granted without even believing that they're doing it. And so there was a situation prior to coming in here to podcast today that I could have subtly said, you know what, it ain't that deep. I'll just wait. But it's like, no, I'm not going to wait. And so when I called my son, I called him as not my son. I called him as a businessman. Because we've got to begin to believe that there are separations in relationship. And so if I rent it to you as a landlord and I go and do a walkthrough, and it's a mess, I'm not calling you as my son. I'm calling you as a business person. And that's how I'm going to deal with it. So when they kept calling me mom, I said, no, I'm Miss Bowman right now. I'm not mom. Because I'm calling you as a business. You're Mr. Hamilton to me. And so when we began to dialogue, he began to tell me, and his rationale was good. And I told him, I said, that was very considerate in why you didn't do what needed to be done. But if you don't include me as the business person, all I see is the mess. Your rationale from the mess being there might be fine in your head, but it ain't fine in mine because you involved me, but you didn't include me.
Didn't invite you in on the process.
And that's why I'm saying you included me, but did not involve me.
Yeah.
So it was all in your head. This conversation you had made sense to you, but it didn't make sense to me because you didn't involve me and invite me into that conversation. So when I did the walkthrough, it was a double blow. One, because we family on one level. Two, it's the way you left that to me in that moment did not do good representation that you value me. That may not been your intent, but you can't tell me how to feel. So what I'm saying, it took courage for me to have that conversation, but I had it.
Even immediately.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Because I believe prolonged conversations, some do you well, but most do you not so well. Because it gives space for resentments and thoughts that are not true. And if you approach it in the right way, you approach it in a way. I went to the conversation as a dialogue. Hello, Mr. Hamilton, may I talk with you about this I just discovered? And of course, immediately the response was, I heard the defense. I got ready to call it an excuse. And I said, I'm not going to call it an excuse. I'm going to call it a rationalization for you. Because it may have not been an excuse. It probably was really his rationalization, but I don't want to hear that. I want to talk about how we're going to move forward. And we got to the move forward. But it took me having the courage to not give myself the space to get all up in my head to say stuff like, oh, this was personal. I can't believe he did me like this. And, you know, we come through all of that kind of stuff when that ain't even the case.
Right.
We create the chaos and the conflict.
Yeah.
We create it.
Yeah.
Which then takes us into the next series, you know, next topic we do is about conflict of change. We take ourselves into that conflict because we won't have the courage to deal with the stuff in front of us, to have the bravery to tell our story, even if the story is my rationale for doing this was because I didn't want to use up all the trash cans. That's great. But the other part to that is why not share that with me? And maybe I could help you relate on how to do it differently. And then by the time I did the walkthrough, it would have been done.
Yeah, everything in the apartment would have been right. The trash would have been gone. Everybody would have had a win.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when we prolong it, it can create opportunities for people to think things that are not true.
Well, thank you, Lakrita. Another good talk about a hard subject of change and courage and how they relate.
Amen.
Amen. Till next time.
You've been listening to the Embracing Change podcast. Music production and mastering by Gone Coastal Productions. Podcast editing and production by Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2020 by Lakrita Bowman.